Ever sprinted through your house searching for your phone while actively talking on it, or introduced yourself to someone you'd met just minutes earlier? Before you spiral into fears of early onset dementia, take a breath. These moments aren't harbingers of cognitive doom, they're simply your brain doing exactly what it evolved to do. Memory isn't a flawless recording device, but a remarkably selective system designed to prioritize what matters while discarding the mundane. We live in an age where every forgotten password feels like a personal failing, yet understanding how memory actually works reveals something liberating. Forgetting is a feature, not a bug. Your brain performs millions of complex operations flawlessly each day, walking, talking, recognizing faces, while occasionally dropping trivial details like where you parked. This isn't decline, it's design. Memory isn't one thing, but an intricate dance of interconnected processes. When you experience something, a conversation, a sunset, a first kiss, your brain translates these sensory inputs into neural language through encoding. The hippocampus, a seahorse-shaped structure buried deep in your brain, then weaves together these disparate threads into a unified pattern through consolidation. These patterns become stored as physical changes in your neural architecture, strengthening connections between neurons that fire together. Later, retrieval reactivates these networks, reconstructing the experience. Here's what makes this fascinating. Memories aren't filed away in a single location like documents in a cabinet. They're distributed throughout your brain in the same regions that processed the original experience. Visual memories live in visual cortex, emotional memories in the amygdala, and so on. When you remember your grandmother's kitchen, you're literally reactivating the same neural networks that processed those sights, smells, and feelings years ago. The real question isn't why we forget so much, but how we remember anything at all in our distraction-saturated world. You cannot remember what you never noticed. Memory begins with attention. Without focused awareness, neurons won't connect to form lasting traces. That forgotten commute? The memory was never created because your mind wandered. Meet someone named Bob at a party, and 30 seconds later, his name vanishes. This isn't memory failure, it's attention failure. While Bob introduced himself, your brain processed his appearance, your nervousness, or what to say next. The name never received the focused attention required for encoding. Our modern world wages war on attention. People checking phones during conversations retain less than half the information discussed. After each interruption, brains need up to 23 minutes to fully refocus. We move through life in perpetual partial attention, then wonder why memories feel hazy. Working memory is your brain's scratch pad, a temporary holding space lasting 15 to 30 seconds. This brief window holds roughly 7 items, expandable through chunking, grouping information into meaningful units, like remembering phone numbers as 3 chunks rather than 10 digits. Only details capturing attention get promoted to long-term storage. Want to remember something important? Eliminate distractions and give that moment your complete, undivided focus. Henry Molaison's surgery removed most of his hippocampus, leaving him unable to form new memories. Every conversation perpetually new, every person a stranger moments later. Yet he could still learn physical skills through practice, revealing that our brains house multiple memory systems operating through different neural pathways. This explains why Alzheimer's patients might forget their daughter's name, yet flawlessly play piano pieces learned decades earlier. Conscious memories feel labored to retrieve, while muscle memory operates effortlessly. Once you've learned to ride a bike or play guitar, these skills become unconscious. Your body performs complex movements while your mind focuses elsewhere. Declarative memories consolidate through the hippocampus. Procedural memories form through the basal ganglia and cerebellum, linking movements into fluid sequences. With practice, neural connections strengthen and relevant brain regions enlarge. Concert pianists develop more gray matter devoted to finger control. Once established, these memories persist remarkably. You might forget a lock's combination, but your fingers remember the pattern. The body remembers what the conscious mind forgets. Semantic memory stores facts without context. You know, Budapest is Hungary's capital, but not when you learned it. Building these memories requires effort. Distributed practice dramatically outperforms cramming, allowing hippocampal consolidation. Self-testing doubles recall compared to rereading, forcing active reconstruction rather than passive recognition. Making information meaningful is crucial. Chess masters remember complex positions only when they represent actual games. Random placement yields no advantage. Expertise isn't better memory, it's organizing information into meaningful patterns. Memory champions use the memory palace method, mentally placing items along familiar routes. The more outlandish, the more memorable. Need to remember milk, chocolate, and Tina Fey? Picture The Rock milking a chocolate cow while Tina Fey catches the stream. Visual imagery creates additional neural connections. Episodic memory, your recollection of personal experiences, forms your life's narrative. Our brains remember what's meaningful, emotional, or surprising while discarding the mundane. You remember Thanksgiving 2019, but not last Tuesday's lunch. Emotionally charged events create stronger memories because emotion activates the amygdala, signaling the hippocampus that this experience matters. Flashball memories contain rich contextual details, most vividly remember September 11th or devastating personal news. Your episodic memories are fundamentally unreliable. We encode only fragments based on attention, which imagination and suggestion alter during consolidation. Stored memories decay and change with each retrieval. When recalling, we reconstruct rather than replay, filling gaps with invented details. Most critically, we reconsolidate this altered version, overwriting the original, like hitting save on an edited document. Researchers easily implant false memories. 25 to 50% of subjects remember fictional childhood events. Simple word choices alter recall dramatically. Asking how fast were the cars going when they smashed versus contacted produces vastly different speed estimates. Our autobiographical memories cluster between ages 15 and 30, the reminiscence bump, when meaningful firsts shape our identity. What we remember depends on outlook. Optimists recall positive experiences, while pessimists remember difficulties. Some individuals possess highly superior autobiographical memory, like actress Marilu Henner, who instantly recalls that July 20, 1977 was Wednesday shooting Blood Brothers with Richard Gere. This suggests humility about our recollections, especially when they conflict with others' memories. Our memories aren't video recordings, but stories we tell ourselves, stories that change subtly each retelling. Positively, this malleability lets us consciously reframe difficult memories, gradually reshaping our relationship with the past. Prospective memory, remembering to do something later, is fundamentally flawed in all humans. Unlike remembering the past, it requires mental time travel and depends on external cues we often miss. Even experts fail. World-class cellists forget priceless instruments in taxis. Surgeons leave instruments inside patients. To-do lists function like glasses for your prospective memory. They correct a natural deficiency. Write everything down, then actually check your lists. For longer intervals, set phone alerts timed before deadlines. Vague intentions like exercise later lack specific cues to trigger memory. Instead, create implementation intentions. I'm going to yoga at noon. Place visible cues, your yoga mat by the door, and set reminders accounting for travel time. For medication, use pillboxes organized by day and position them next to your toothbrush, not hidden in cabinets. Many rely on daily routines as memory cues, but when routines change, these reminders disappear. When your day derails, pause to identify any tasks tied to disrupted activities. Solomon Sharashevsky possessed extraordinary memory recalling, lengthy number lists, foreign poetry, and complex formulas perfectly years later. Yet this remarkable ability proved more burden than blessing. Unable to filter irrelevant information, his mind cluttered with trivial details most naturally discard. His case reveals a profound truth. Forgetting clears outdated information, old hotel room numbers, previous parking spots, creating mental space for what matters. Memory exists as a profound paradox, simultaneously everything and nothing. It enables nearly everything we do, yet it's notoriously flawed. Even memory champions forget everyday things like birthdays. Our brains aren't designed to remember routine experiences, but rather what's meaningful, emotional, and surprising. Yet memory doesn't define humanity. People living with advanced Alzheimer's, though unable to recognize family members, still feel and express love. They retain humor, faith, presence, and the capacity for rich relationships. You are not your memories. You are the consciousness experiencing this moment, the love you feel right now, the connection you create today. Being fully present might matter more than perfectly remembering the past.